Welcome to Amateur Opinions. These are your hosts, Deuce and Easy. Easy, how you doing, bro?
Deuce, I'm good, man. How you doing? I'm good.
I'm doing good. It's funny, we just had some technical difficulties and we're kind of restarting to greet each other, so it's slightly odd, but...
We're doing the vlog thing. We acted out again.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, off air or on air, you were telling me that you were watching Tenet again. And how was your experience?
Yes,
how
was I was watching Tenet with subtitles. So the second time, because for people who don't know, the audio in Tenet is kind of all over the show. So the music overpowers the dialogue. So it's really hard to hear the actors. But without spoiling the movie, I watched it again with subtitles. So even though I understood more, my understanding the first time around was enough. So I understand. I think he almost did it intentionally. I don't think he wants you to understand it fully, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's close to impossible to understand it fully the first time, and because of the factors you just mentioned, right? The sound was difficult.
Yeah.
The dialogue was comprehensive from what I gathered the first time. Every conversation seemed like an important part of the story. And you know, some characters. I remember, you know, asking my brother what John Washington's name was, and then now when I was reading the cast on YouTube, I realized that it actually didn't have a name.
Yes, the protagonist.
Yeah.
Exactly. He didn't. So when you watch it with subtitles, it's you learn a bit more, but you're kind of like low key, like, oh, okay, well that's nice to know, but. You still understand. It's kind of like communicate. Imagine you're speaking to somebody and you guys don't speak the same language. But this guy is asking you like, hey, can you tell me where the bathroom is? So even though you don't understand the words that he's using, you understand that he wants the bathroom. That's what it felt like watching it with subtitles. Where, yes, right. I didn't get all of it, but I understood enough the first time round. So what I would say to people watching it the first time is it's not one of those movies you're not meant to dissect it, if that makes sense. It's more about the experience is what I realized. If anything, I almost felt like the first time where I couldn't hear what they were saying, I felt like I was in it a little bit more than when I could, you know, read the subtitle. I don't know. It's strange.
I think reading the subtitles a lot of work.
You know, it's not that, because I like watching things with subtitles. It's not that. It was definitely a thing of when I couldn't hear and I was trying to hear, but that activity got me into the movie a bit more. I don't know how to explain it, because I watch anime, you know, and anime I'm always reading and I still feel in it. But you know, when you're watching Tenet, there's those moments where you're like, wait, what did he say? What's going? You know, that game you play.
Yes.
It adds to the experience, if that makes sense. I was just going to say, for anyone who hasn't watched the film, I would say watch it without subtitles and embrace the lack of good audio. Just be in it, because you're still enjoying, even though you won't understand fully what's going on, you'll still understand the overarching thing, and you'll still be experiencing it the way it's supposed to, if that makes sense.
Yeah, you'll know what's happening, but you probably won't know why for some of the things, right?
And you won't know why, and you'll maybe be like 60-70% sure why, but that 60-70% is enough, because when I went back and watched it and I understood 100%, it didn't add enough to, you know, like make the experience that much better, you know. It was one of those. So
yeah, like I mean without, you know, spoiling it too much, I mean this movie came out a while ago, so I think the statute of limitations can allow us to say, you know, a few spoilers.
Yes,
you know, like, for example,
basically when, to like skip the next 5 minutes. Stop listening now.
Next couple of minutes, yeah.
Yeah.
Basically, when he... Okay, for example, in terms of, you know, not knowing fully why, you know, for example, you know he's trying to save that woman, right? But you don't... you know why, you know, because, you know, she shouldn't die or whatever.
Yes.
But you don't know why. You know what I mean?
100%. Or you don't understand the mechanics. You don't fully understand the mechanics of him going back, but then being inverted, but then going back in a machine, and then he's going forward, exactly. You know? But you understand that he's trying to save her, and that's all you need.
That's all you need. And yeah, and also him, you know, how he knows Robert. You know he knows him, right?
Yes.
But you don't know how he knows him, in a way.
Yes. Right? If,
yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And so and at the end of it, even though you're like, oh, you can get into the details, it's more about the effects and the journey and the. I think it's still a good experience without and the concept. Yeah, like after watching it with subtitles, because I remember the first time I watched, I was like, damn, I wish I watched this with subtitles. And then I watched it with subtitles, and I was like, you know what? I was actually fine without the subtitles. It was just as good, you know? So, yeah. That was Tenet. But that's been my week. Trying to think if anything else happened that was good. I spoke about the sports. Had a good week with sports. Sorry, man.
Inauguration, maybe?
Inauguration, anything the there? Bernie Sanders memes. I love it. I absolutely love it. They're great. I mean, that's the side of the internet that I like. The Bernie Sanders memes have been amazing. Speaking of Bernie Sanders and Joe Biden,
you mentioned something regarding free speech or something.
Yeah, so Trump went out with a bang. You know, I think it's fair to say, and it made me think about the concept of free speech. You know.
Yeah.
You know, free speech is so important because Trump was banned, and I'm not a fan of Trump. Don't get me wrong. I'm not the biggest fan. But I was left conflicted when he was banned from these social media platforms, because firstly, this is why I'm conflicted, and it's gonna just bear with me because I need to unpack this. They're private companies,
okay,
so they can do whatever the hell they want, right? If you own a restaurant, you're allowed to say you're not allowed in my restaurant, you know?
Right of admission is reserved.
Exactly. Those social media platforms have the same right, you know? But at the same time, they also have a huge responsibility that a restaurant doesn't have. So... It's a bit irresponsible to say if a restaurant can do it, then Twitter can do it. Do you know what I'm saying? Because the responsibility that Twitter has could impact lives. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, so, restaurants aren't changing the way people think.
At all. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So it's a bit too simplified to say they have the right to do what they want. Yes, they have that right, but they also have this huge responsibility. And I think they're struggling to find that balance between what their rights are and what their responsibilities are. You know? Because right now, they're the gate holders of mass communication. All these guys, Google, Twitter, Facebook, they're in a position now where they're the gate holders of communication. And when you're the gateholder of communication, you have a responsibility to uphold freedom of speech. Does that make sense? You know?
Yeah.
In the same way that your restaurant has every right to serve whatever they want, but your restaurant also has the responsibility to make sure that the food you're serving is healthy. You know, I mean, not healthy as in, I mean, not dangerous or poisonous, for lack of a better term. You know,
yeah. If those checks they do, you know, to check if your kitchen is in good condition, exactly. And all that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so I was thinking about the Trump ban, and it just made me think, wow, this is wild, you know. This guy has been banned, and it made me think about free speech and where do you draw the line, you know? Because it's important to have people say whatever they want to say, because you never know who's in charge of controlling the speech. That's my danger with censorship, you know?
Yeah.
It's cool when the people censoring are on your side. Like right now, I like Jack Dorsey. Cool. I mean, you know? But what happens if 10 years from now, the next big social media site is started by a Republican or a right-wing guy, you know? And his social media platform becomes the biggest thing ever, and then he starts banning liberal views. Do you know what I'm saying? Then it's not cool.
Yeah.
Then the censorship's not cool, you know? So, that's something I've been pondering on. You know, I wanted to get your thoughts on it, because as much as we don't like this guy, I just don't like this idea of not giving him a voice. But at the same time, bro, he was riling people up. I really think he did, you know? So where do you draw the line? Because I think the riots definitely were incited by what he said. I think you'd be naive to say those didn't come about because of his comments. But at the same time, I don't think the answer is to remove his speech. I don't know what you think. I don't really have like a... It's just something I haven't fully wrapped my brain around, you know?
Yeah, I mean, look. He got banned. It was a coordinated ban, right? So I'm talking...
Yeah.
You know, Twitter, obviously. You know, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube banned him. Amazon Web Services, you know, banned him.
Wow.
Right? Because they cut off Parler. You know Parler, right? Mm-mm. That's the... Mm-mm. So Parler was a site that was promoting free speech. I believe it's similar to Twitter. It was a Twitter alternative for conservatives, basically. That's what it was.
Okay.
That's how they described it, Twitter for conservatives. And it was hosted on AWS, I think. So Amazon Web Services cut off the social media site Parler after the Capitol riot. You know, Snapchat took him out. Reddit, and Reddit banned Donald Trump's page and other pro-Trump pages that were prone to violent threats and misinformation. For violation of the platform's policy. So that's what they said. And then, you know, Twitch, also Amazon owned, you know, same reason. Liquid Web, whatever that is. So apparently Liquid Web is, I'm reading an article. Liquid Web is Oath Keepers, a far-right self-proclaimed militia group made up of current and former military, was kicked offline by Liquid Web. Yeah, I don't know what that is.
Mm-hmm.
Shopify. That's so weird. Shopify. So they basically removed Trump's campaign merchandise shop.
Yeah.
And personal brand.
Yeah.
From his platform. Now, that's crazy. That's crazy to me. Right?
Yeah.
It's wild. Think about it. His campaign for 2020, his merch removed, his personal brand, which he's had for years. You know, that Trump brand taken off Shopify.
Mm-hmm.
That's just coordinated at this point. You know what I mean?
Sure. The whole of Silicon Valley was like, you're out.
Yeah, basically. And remember, they did that to Alex Jones.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they'll do it like friggin' in a space of, you know, a few days, everyone coordinated, bro.
Yes.
It's, you know. So that shows you that this is it's basically almost like a mafia where they control everything. You know, and the craziest part is when you have a site like Parler, the one I was describing, which is trying to veer away from people using Twitter, or at least you know, allowing the alternative voice, which is the far, the right, not necessarily far right, but just the conservative voices to have a voice. The problem is, you know, it's not a giant like Twitter or whatever. They don't have their own servers. They're running their sites on the same people in Silicon Valley, which is whether it's Google or Amazon Web Services or Microsoft, you're not winning. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they're cut off. And then Shopify, I mean, the Shopify one is just like, okay, wow. But yeah, I totally agree with you, man. Like it's extremely, extremely dangerous. And they did this to Alex Jones a few years ago, took him out, removed his podcast, you know, from all the stores.
Yeah.
Again, it was coordinated. Literally within 2 days, he was off Twitter, off YouTube, off, you know, iTunes, Spotify, everything.
Sure.
And
It's such that phrase that you coin, you know, the digital, like they're like a mafia, like this digital mafia, you know? I think it's very easy to not see the danger of them because they are on our side right now, right? But remember that the engineers and the board at these companies, they're going to grow old and they're going to hire new people. And one day, you never know, Google might be majority conservative, you know?
Yeah.
And what happens on that day where now Black Lives Matter is silenced or, you know, any movement that you care about can be silenced in the exact same way? It's all good and well when the mafia's on your side. But when they're not, then, you know, what happens when Colin Kaepernick is banned, you know?
Yeah, what you're saying is actually very profound, right? It's similar to what, you know, this that woman who was talking about race in the 70s when she said, you know, when people were saying, you know, that Black people don't have it that bad, and then, you know, there's a room full of white people, and then she says, anyone who would switch places with a Black person raised their hand right now, and none of them did, right? So it's similar to what you're saying right now, where, you know, people will praise it, but, you know, if you ask them, how would you feel if it was the opposite? If Silicon Valley was run by, was in Texas and not
The Bay Area.
And not San Francisco.
Sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure.
You know, what would you do?
100%. Because,
you know, Obama taken out of everything.
Yeah, 100%.
You know what I'm saying?
100%.
You'd be up in arms.
100%.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was telling you this off air. We have a friend, and if I'm not mistaken, I was looking at Instagram stories. So, you know, she's quite a frequent poster of things, you know? So I said to myself, like, damn, I haven't seen her post in a while. Let me just go see if there's a post that I missed, right? This friend of ours, how many followers does she have? 10? Maybe 1,000?
Yeah, 10, 11K, yeah.
North. Oh, 21.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway, it's north of 10. So I went and I checked her profile and she had a political post about, I think it said something along the lines of, can you see the difference now? Or is the difference clear now? It doesn't matter what the post was, but she was talking about Capitol Hill, you know? So she made a post about that and she had like 50 likes. The first thing that struck me was, I didn't see this on my feed. And I was baffled. I was like, I didn't see this. So I was like, did I ignore it or something? So I went and I checked like all her other posts to see if I had liked them. And I was like, wait, all her recent posts, I'd liked them. I didn't like this one. Am I going crazy? But I'm pretty sure I didn't see this one. And I knew I wasn't alone because the post had 50 likes. She usually gets between 300 and 500. And all of a sudden, when she makes a political one, it drops to 50, you know? And that scared me even more. Because not only are these guys, the mafia as you call them, Glenn, not only are they the gatekeepers of what we see, but they're controlling how we see it. And no one's policing that, right? I mean, how, where do you even start, right? But all the posts of her and her face and pictures of her, you know, 300 to 500. And then as soon as she makes a political post, Instagram's like, nope, no, sir, we're not gonna show that to people. We'll show it to enough people that you don't get suspicious to see what we're doing, but we're not gonna show it to majority of your followers, which is crazy. Because, and here's why that scares me, Glenn. Here's why that scares me. Is if you look at the movement, the Zimbabwe protest, the even Uganda recently. There's been a couple of NSARs in Nigeria, you know?
Yeah.
Social media was so powerful in letting people know that there's a problem here. The only reason social media was powerful was because the mafioso said, you know what, it's okay. But now, this recent one taught me that they also have the power to suppress things. If they don't want something to go viral, it won't go viral. And the thing that scares me is what happens one day when there's a movement that they disagree with, but the masses need to see it. Bro, all it takes is a couple of engineers to be like, we're nipping this in the bud. We're nipping this in the bud. Yeah. Like, they allowed the George Floyd protest to go through. They allowed it. It wasn't organic. They okayed those protests. And one day there's going to be something we care about that they don't. And like, for example, like, just try a campaign of, you know what, let's get more black females in tech. See how viral that goes. Just try that, you know.
No, what you're saying is right. I mean, during that Joe Rogan episode with Tim, Jack Dorsey, who's the Twitter CEO, and he had his head of basically the person who kind of monitors all this, the head of that department that
I think she's their legal, she was like their lawyer legal, or something.
Right. Yeah, yeah. So she, you know, when someone is to be getting is going to get banned, she's the head of that department, basically. So, yeah, I mean, they spoke about, you know, the guy, you know, Tim Pool was kind of, you know, going up against them on that podcast, and he was questioning them about a certain hashtag that they suppressed, like you're saying. And, you know, they were taking tweets down and, you know, handing out warnings to accounts that were posting it.
I don't remember what exactly it was. Right? That was the hashtag.
Oh, yeah, I learned to code.
Something like that.
Learned to code. Which was a funny one. Where, what was the basis of learn to code?
I think it was started as sarcasm. I think
Truck drivers or something.
Yeah, miners, like, and so low skilled. I'm saying that in air quotes. But basically, hard labor workers were losing jobs. And I think they were dismissed by liberals who said, hey, just learn to code. And then conservatives started using that as a, you know. I think it was funny. They're like, oh, you just learn to code. And I think Twitter ended up banning the hashtag. Something along those lines. But yeah.
Something along those lines, yeah. Mm. But yeah, so, you know, they definitely can, you know, do stuff like that where they suppress certain trends.
Sure.
It's scary. And the scariest thing, like I said, was, you know, people had created an alternative for Twitter where anyone could speak, whether you're on the left or on the right, you could speak freely without censorship. And there was no, you know, advertising. That obviously advertising ends up, you know, you end up having to censor certain things because that's where the money is. But, you know, they took that down as well, which is wild.
It is, bro. It is. They will suppress you. They can take you out. And your movements and you going viral, you're at the mercy of these guys. I think Alex Jones is such... Excuse me. He's a great example of that, you know? And I think it's all fun and games, because I think for most of our audience, the guys running these companies are on our side for the most part. But it's kind of, to make a comic book analogy, it's kind of like, I feel like Batman and they're Superman. And I'm like, okay, cool. We agree politically right now, but I don't trust you, because just like the way Batman looks at Superman, if you turn on us, there's no stopping you, you know?
Right, yeah.
And that's the thing with social media, where like, I think it's all good and well now, but if they decide, hey man, we're Breaking Bad, there's nothing you can do to stop them, bro, you know? Yep.
And that's the issue they're facing in America, where, you know, this is something very new, and they obviously don't have the kind of, you know, in terms of the lawmakers, they're dealing with it as it goes.
Yeah.
You know, so you see all these congressional hearings that they end up having, and, you know, the people are asking the wrong questions, you can say. They don't really understand, you know, how these algorithms work and what they can do and the impact they're having.
Oh, yeah. Not at all. Dude.
Yeah.
So,
you know, which ties into what you said about the power that they have and into shaping how we think, even though it's their company, and these things are worldwide. And, you know, I was mentioning that they, you know, Facebook has started religious wars in certain countries, you know.
Yeah.
I'm forgetting which exact countries. There was one Asian country and I believe another African country, if I'm not mistaken.
Sure. Wow.
You know, because they give it for free. So, you know, so they make a deal, strike a deal with the government or, you know, the telecom providers to make Facebook free. And that Facebook ends up being your internet, because those people won't really have data to actually access the internet. So, you know, Facebook is your internet. That's where you get your information.
That's dangerous. It's scary.
Very dangerous with the way it's already censored. And, you know, you then get people who can manipulate, you know, the vibes on Facebook, create groups, cause unrest, cause wars, and it's literally happened. So I remember, you know, they were saying, look, we're having issues in America, but, you know, these sites are causing much bigger issues in less fortunate countries where the internet is Facebook. You know, that's all it is. You know, it's like in Zim, Facebook is free. You know what I mean? Interesting.
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, you never know what the government's going to do, or, you know,
I don't know. That's crazy.
It's just crazy. It's crazy.
It's, you know, now that you tell me Facebook's free in those places, it almost speaks to the morality of these companies, you know, because they know that the intention is not good, you know, from the start. Just the mere approach that we're giving you access to our platform so that we can advertise to you, and on top of that, we're going to filter the information you see, not so that you get the truth, but so that we can advertise more to you. You know, that's their goal.
Yeah.
So when information is a byproduct, but people are using it as the main feature, that's what they're using it for, there's not even a conflict of interest. What they want is not aligned. You know, because Facebook is saying, look, we're not in the business of giving you information. We're in the business of advertising. And then you're there thinking, I'm using this thing for information. Two different things.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's the thing, right? Facebook doesn't do it intentionally in terms of the misinformation. It's literally just because the algorithms are geared into maximizing profit, right? Those are the parameters, really.
Time spent.
How do we maximize people to stay on our site? which then translates into, you know, more revenue.
Exactly. And that's all that the algorithm cares about, really.
That's all it cares about. So it doesn't care how it happens, which is what the problem is.
Sure.
And that's what we spoke about on another episode, where Apple actually actively tries. They don't try hard enough, but they do try way more than, you know, everyone else.
Yes.
In terms of, you know, protecting your data, if you choose to.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It also makes me think of another thing. You know, we had the elections in Uganda, and Museveni had all of the internet just wiped off in the country. I think the same thing happened in Zim, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, during the coup.
Yeah. So I wanted to ask, like, given, like, to use somebody who's more technically minded, is there a space to, like, create a almost like a dark web to keep people connected regardless of what politicians do? Or is that something that's out of the realm of possibility for now?
I mean, I would think you'd still need the infrastructure, right, to feed into it.
Mm-hmm.
So if that infrastructure is cut off, you're still cut off.
I see.
Which is what these companies would do. If there is a way, which, you know, there might be, you know, how many people are going to have that know-how? Because it would be some black screen with green letters type of situation.
yes. but like, what would, so what I'm asking is, like, is there nothing? I know Google had these balloons that they wanted to have flying around that would offer access to internet and all of that, you know?
I know there's satellite access you can get, if I'm not mistaken, you know, but still that's you know, you'd need the equipment to tap into that. Because I mean there's some military grade stuff, but it's military grade, you know, because they can't depend on you know, tel providers, basically whatever the cell, what are they called, telecom providers, whatever they tap into, the military grade stuff, you know, does that on its own in a way that kind of can't be cut out.
Yeah, it's sad because I was just thinking about how these African dictators, like the template, like the handbook for being an African dictator, I think that's chapter one. Cut off the internet. You know, I really hope that there's a digital revolution around that, because you see how powerful this is, where the Superman component comes into it with these guys, where as much as I'm talking about how they can be dangerous, they can also be a catalyst for good. But I think that's something Elon Musk should be doing. Not that he cares about the continent, but, you know, definitely he's something I think about.
He's the most conservative, you know, super tech guy. I mean, he's not conservative, but he's the most conservative in a sense that such that he even wanted to move Tesla to Texas.
Sure, and I think he still is.
Just because of what was going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just because of what was going on in he's more of a, I actually call him a liberal, you know, because I feel what they call liberal now is almost far left at this point.
Sure, but I agree.
An actual liberal is close to the center, I would think. Close-ish to the center.
I agree. Yeah. And I think... And given that he's a liberal, I think it's a project that I think would be more aligned with conservative views, right? Where we say, I know Google tried. I think it was, man, Google had these balloons that they wanted to have floating in the air, and they wanted to have access, you know, to internet around the world. It was a Google X project. I don't know if you heard about it.
Nah.
Yeah, it was a Google X project. I don't know if, have you heard of Google X?
Yeah, I have.
Yeah, I think it's like this hub where they just try shit. Literally. It's just like, you want to try it, go for it. Let's go.
Like, there's no such thing as it can't be done. You just try and see what happens.
Yeah. It's a free hit. It's a free hit. So, and I remember that was one of the projects they had, and it was so exciting. I don't think it went anywhere. But just thinking from an African context, I think one of the things that's such a holding back our liberation is just how information just doesn't get out there. You know, it just gets nipped in the butt, you know?
Yep.
Like, what are you hearing about Uganda right now? I'm not hearing anything. You know, it's just kind of like elections, what happened, you know?
I mean, it's the stuff that I heard before. You know, Bobby Wine is, you know, his house is surrounded. You know, I don't know if it still is, to be honest.
Yeah. And the point is, yeah, and that's the thing, you know, so whether it's UG, Zim, Nigeria, like, I think the Nigerian government are probably looking back and being like, you know what? We let this SARS thing get out of hand. We should have cut these niggas early next time.
That template
they have the cheat code, dude, now.
When the coup was happening in Zim, I thought it was a lie. Initially, because nothing actually was, you know, my parents hadn't said anything. My friends hadn't said anything. My Zim social media was bare. Until I then realized, flip, I actually can't talk to anyone in Zim right now. you know? So, yeah. And then, so now, from what I know, you know, the BBC type of guys don't usually, I mean, I've seen them telling lies before about Zim. While I'm there, you know, that's, you know, there's unrest, and then they use old footage. I've seen them do that. But, you know, so I thought, is this real? You know, then pictures start circulating up, you know, showing tankers, and then I'm like, is that actually happening though? Yes. You know what I mean? Like, that's just a picture of a tanker. What does that mean?
That's crazy.
Until it was actually confirmed. Yeah. So that stuff actually works.
That's crazy. That's wild, man. That's so wild how information can just be suppressed. And these governments are no different from, you know, the social media guys banning stuff. It's all just scary how stuff can be, you know, shut down.
Yep.
But I think that's it, man. I think I'm ready to wrap this up. Is there anything else you wanted to close on before?
Nah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Cool. Guys, thank you so much for joining us.
Free speech, guys.
Keep your free speech. You know, enjoy it while it's there. I mean, if you have the right, basically, if you have the right side of free speech or the allowed side of free speech, you can have, you know, you'll talk until you're dead. But if you don't conform, then, you know, your free speech, it's gone.
Yeah.
All right. Guys, thank you so much for joining us. Be sure to like and subscribe on all our platforms. Give us a 5-star review on iTunes. We haven't had one of those in a while. We'd appreciate it if you did. You know, it helps us get onto those, you know, South African podcast charts. And helps us to get more exposure. So we'd appreciate it if you gave us one of those. You know, as far as this episode is concerned, this is it. Thank you so much for joining us. These are amateur opinions. If you like them, you can take them. If you don't, you can leave them. Peace. All
right, peace.